You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
We're going to still talk about all things are possible with God, but before we do that, I'm going to address something that's pretty heavily in the news and needs to be. And that's Israel, what's happening there. I taught a series on the end times, and I've taught that Israel is always the clock or the calendar to everything happening prophetically. That when God deals with the end times, the reason America is not the main topic, because Israel's always been the main topic. He set the clock and the calendar of everything he's going to do, and that clock and calendar rests on the nation of Israel. And so that's how we know where we are in prophecy, and I've talked about that, I've taught on that many times, but I want you to see something that is happening now that is getting interesting. But first, I want to encourage you, the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that if salvation came through the Jews, then we should at least feed the poor in Israel. And so because of that scripture and because other things that God has said, he said to Abraham, those who bless you will be blessed, those who curse you will be cursed. As a church family, we feed the poor in Israel. There's a ministry called Leket Ministries. It's not a Christian organization, it's a Jewish one. But we have partnered with them as Christians, and we help them feed thousands and thousands of people in Israel. Everybody thinks Israel doesn't have any poor. Yes, they do, because they're being flooded by people from Russia and all over Europe and Africa, Jewish Africans that are coming, and they don't have a livelihood. And there's not, I mean, it's a small place with millions of people, so they're stacked on top of each other, and they need help. And so we, through Leket Ministries, we give. When we receive the tithes and the offerings, we take 10% of that and we give it away. So for those of you that tithe, we tithe twice. Because not only did you tithe, we tithe as a whole church. You tithe individually, and then as a church, we give 10% of our finances away. We try to do it every month. But 10% of that goes to Leket to feed the poor in Israel. But we also, through Josh and Bevan Bold, some of you got to meet them. They're incredible at the marriage conference there, and I interviewed them about what they do in missions. We are also supporting building two churches, one for the Arab people, Christians, and one for Jews that have become Christians and accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and their Messiah. And we help support, I told them specifically I wanted to do something in Israel. We help support the pastors of both those churches as well. And so good things are happening there, but bad things are happening in Israel. If you're not aware of it, the Palestinians, and I want to just tell you this as an historian, Palestine has never had a nation. They want their nation back. Well, that's never been a nation. People get the Philistines and the Palestinians confused. They're not the same. And so the Palestinians have never had a nation. They've never had a claim to that land. But Israel has, given by God. And that's just it. And so the Palestinians have become a very troubled people. And the Muslim religion, if people really follow it, they are called upon to lay down their life. Now, this is how twisted Satan is. Jesus said, if you lay down your life, you'll gain life. But if you save your life, you'll lose it. And we know when he talks about laying down our life, he's not talking about strapping a bomb to ourselves, getting in a busload of children and blowing everybody up. But in the Quran, in the Muslim world, they talk about killing themselves and killing others. And so Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when Jesus made that statement, he's talking about on the earth, not in heaven, because he doesn't steal, kill, and destroy anything in heaven. He's talking about on the earth. And when he said, I came to give life and abundant life, he's talking about on the earth. So he's talking about earthly things. And so Satan is a murderer. Jesus said, Satan's been a murderer from the beginning and a liar. And what has happened is he has infiltrated and created these false religions. And now it's just a culture of death. And the value of life is so low. I lived in the nation. Someone can't tell me it's not true. I lived in the capital city of Tehran in Iran. I lived in the capital city for some time. And I saw the devaluing of life at a high level. I also saw the perverted sexuality of the Muslim world. My brother Brian witnessed a woman be beat to death on the street. And he was going to stop it. And his Iranian friend stopped him and told him he would be arrested, not the man that literally with his fist beat his wife to death in the middle of the street. Just because he could. I said just because he could. Because women are possessions. Only in Christianity does God raise women above a possession. In all the other religions, they're treated like a possession to be bought and sold, traded, whatever. But not God. God's a God of freedom, amen, for men and women. And so anyway, this is what's happening today. The Palestinians invaded Israel. They know they got help from Russia, China, some other nations because they surpassed some of the security apparatus that Israel had up, and they know that the Palestinians don't have the ability to do it. So someone else is helping them. So why is that important? I'm going to tell you why this is important. Because when I taught on the Battle of Armageddon, and I don't know why I've had this in my heart. I believe that chronologically, other people might argue it differently, but this is what I believe. That we will witness the Battle of Armageddon. Here's what the Battle of Armageddon is. Iran, which is the backer of Hamas, which is the Palestinian terrorist organization that attacked Israel, and that Israel is now blowing to smithereens. Iran, Persia, is ancient Persia. They are listed in the Old Testament as one of the leaders of the Battle of Armageddon. The other one is Gog and Magog, which is the leader of Russia. So Russia and Iran are like this. They just signed another deal and put it in place for weapons and money and all kinds of things. And Iran is supplying Russia with money and also helping them acquire weapons to fight in Ukraine and around the world. When I lived in Iran, the Russians and Iranians had for centuries, thousands of years, been bitter, bitter enemies. But because of the takeover of the Ayatollahs and the evil that they have perpetrated, now evil attracts evil. So now the leaders of Russia, I'm not talking about the Russian people, even some of the Iranian people, they want freedom. And the church in Russia, the real church, the Christians, and there are millions of Christians right now in Iran. It's the underground church, and it's led by women and children because the men are too afraid. And that's why you see the people being killed in Iran for standing up to the government are all women. Because they have been born again and they're fighting for freedom. When you come to know Jesus and he sets you free, freedom becomes your cry for not just yourself, but for others. And so we have people there trapped in this evil leadership in Iran and Russia. They are the two main leaders that lead the armies around Israel to go against Israel in the Valley of Armageddon. And God supernaturally through earthquakes, hailstones, and other things, destroys all those armies that are gathered against Israel in that valley. Now, they're going to claim it's climate change. See, guys, you have to understand, these lies are woven in to inspire the spirit of the Antichrist and to get people to believe that it wasn't God's supernatural hand that protected Israel. And so that's why these alien invasions, when we all leave, they're going to say it was alien. That's why you see the rise of UFOs and everybody believes in UFOs and the government says there's UFOs and all that. That's not a fringe group anymore. That's the mainstream. There's a reason. Because when we leave, they've got to say something happened. When we are raptured out of here, God takes the church out, then he pours out his wrath for 7 years. And the Antichrist is part of that pouring out. He releases him to do his thing. When we're gone, there's no wall to protect everybody else. The wall's down. The spirit of the Antichrist is released. The wrath of God is poured out for 7 years. But before all that takes place is this battle of Armageddon. And why do I believe it comes before we leave the earth, before the church leaves the earth, the body of Christ? This is why I believe it. Because I believe God is so merciful. And I believe that he wants to save as many as he can. This is going to be a cry like, hey, it is The nations in the Old Testament are spelled out. Turkey, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Russia, Iran. All the nations are spelled out and named by name coming against, and they amass all their armies against Israel. They are named by name. And exactly how he's going to destroy them is named. In the end, there's going to be so much confusion because of the weather, what happens to them with hailstones and earthquakes. They will get in mass confusion and slaughter each other. It said it'll take every citizen of Israel, I can't remember, I think it's 3 years to collect the spoils of war. Israel's going to turn around and be blessed. And we're going to witness it, and America's not even listed in the battle. We stand back and say we don't want to be involved. And we have government officials right now that would probably do that. That would say we will say, why are you doing this? Why are you nations coming against them? And we'll even try to verbally stand up for Israel. But we won't do nothing. We won't do anything militarily or physically. America, no one will. No one will help them. But the Lord our God, who still has a covenant with that nation. God doesn't break covenant. He made a better covenant, but he didn't break that covenant. God never breaks an agreement that he makes. And I believe that's when Israel, that's when the two prophets will come back and stand. It says the whole world will see the battle. The whole world will see the two prophets, which are Elijah and then Enoch, who never experienced death. They will come back in front of the only part of the old temple that is left, and that's the eastern gate, the same gate that Jesus came through when he entered Jerusalem, the same gate he'll come back through when he comes back for a second coming. They will stand at that gate, and they will prophesy to the people of Israel that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and many, many, many will be saved because of it. So I believe the whole world is, because it says the whole world will witness it. We know the whole world could not witness that until the modern technology that we have. And there are cameras on that wall right now. They've been there for some time. There are cameras that the whole world can watch. And only in this modern time do we have the technology for the whole world to view anything and to know anything. In this information age, we'll get stuff back quickly. Hey, hailstones came down and started hitting this army. Hey, earthquake happened and a bunch of them dropped down in the ground and the earth shut. I mean, it's going to be crazy what we're going to be hearing as God defends them. And the whole world's going to know. And I believe there's going to be one last great revival. God told me when it became very difficult to build this building, to build the buildings that we have, when it became very difficult and it was very hard. And I'm like, God, is this worth it? Is this worth the effort, the time, the finances? I'll never forget what he said. He said, I'm building an ark here. He said, I put the time, the effort, and the finances into building the ark. He said, now the church, the body of Christ, is my ark. And that's what I'm building here. He said, get ready. And we already have a plan to go to 4 services on the weekend, 2 services on Wednesday, and to go beyond that if we need to. We already have that plan because we know something's coming. I believe God in his mercy. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't create it for us. The only reason human beings go to hell is because we get to pick our leader. And it's a simple choice, either Jesus or Lucifer. Anything else but Jesus is Lucifer. Any other religion, any other thought process, I live for myself. There's a million thoughts and ways to follow the devil. There's only one way to follow God, and that's through the Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. That's it. And if we're following a leader, we end up where they end up. Jesus is in heaven. We follow him to heaven. Satan's going to hell, and people follow him in there. So we have a choice who we follow. We have a choice who our leader is. And I want to let people know there's not a third choice. Like, I don't believe in Lucifer, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in anything, I just believe in me. Well, you made a choice, and that's to follow Lucifer, because he loves it when you believe that. He's got you right where he wants you. When you say, well, I choose me, I'm my own kingdom, my own truth, my own this, he loves that. He's like, yes, that's exactly what I thought before Jesus and the armies of heaven threw me out like a lightning bolt. Most people believe, the Bible says a war in heaven, that war lasted, If you've ever seen a lightning strike, that's how long that war lasted. Boom, just like that, they were all gone. All of them, Lucifer and all the third of all the angels. Like a lightning strike, that war was over that quick. So you have a choice who you follow. Man, I hope you choose Jesus. I hope you choose our hope. And God's heart is that you choose life and eternal life and not Satan. And so, because we know the results of that too in this life. We know the results in this life. And, you know, you become part of the steal, you know, kill and destroy. You kill relationships. You kill your own body. You kill your mind. You kill other people's self-esteem if you don't literally murder them. It becomes part of the Satan, and that's why there's evil in the world, because people cooperate with evil. People will say, well, God took them. Man, God didn't take it. God didn't take them. Man, you'll know when God receives you into the kingdom is when you're full of years. The Bible said you'll be full of years and full of life when you pass away. That's how God receives. You fall asleep in peace with your family surrounding you, full of years, ready to go home. Ready to go home. Satan's the one that creates all the rest of this nonsense, all this evil. And he works through people that cooperate. But listen, Israel's our clock, is our calendar. If you don't pay attention to any other news, always pay attention to what's going on in Israel. Because that's our clock and calendar to let us know what is going to happen to us and what's happening right now spiritually. Amen? And so pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Be a blessing to Israel, because he said that promise that he'll bless you because you bless them. And we do. If you don't personally, we do as a church with you, and we all do it together. And so I believe that's why blessings come on Church on the Move, because that word is still true. Plus, even a greater blessing, we have Jesus Christ, man. We have the Lord Jesus. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to see God do the impossible. He's going to destroy those armies without Israel firing a shot. It's going to be crazy to witness and watch. And it's going to be awesome to see all the people that come running and come running to God. And those who have heard about him but don't know him are going to come running. And those who didn't know him, man, they're going to want to hear about him. And they're going to come running. We done already? Wow. Well, praise the Lord. Let me read this to you. Actually, go with me. Yeah. Go with me to Mark 10, verse 27. Let's skip this one. They both say the same thing, different circumstances. Matthew 19 is talking about a man being saved, and he tells him, With man, that's impossible. Man can't save himself, but with God. Everybody say, with God. Nothing's impossible. And he says it again in Mark 10. Totally different, two different circumstances, two different situations. Mark 10, verse 27. This is the angel, Gabriel, talking to Mary. This is Jesus. Luke 1:37 is the angel talking to Mary. But this is Jesus talking about, things that are impossible and not possible. And he says this, and he says, Jesus looked at them, this is the rich man, and replied, with people it is impossible, but with God. You know, you can be with people or you can be with God. You get to choose what people think of you and what you want from people and what they want from you. Is that going to be your first thing, or what God wants from you and what God wants with you? Is that going to be first? You get to choose who you're with. But with God, here we go. He said, but with God, God makes all things possible when you're with him. And I'll pick this up next Sunday and we'll get deeper into this in this service. But when you're with somebody, it says something. It says something. When Julie and I got married, God equates the church as a bride, him as a groom. And so he always uses marriage as an example of intimacy and being with someone. So when Julie and I stood before God in our witnesses and we said, I'm with you, you're with me, that means that on earth, as far as people are concerned, I made an obligation to pick Julie first, and she made an obligation to pick me first. That when other people will come around or things that would pull for our attention, that we would go back to that bow and say, hold on a second, this thing's not going to be in front of Julie. My kids aren't going to be in front of Julie. I'm not going to choose another woman in front of Julie. I'm not going to choose golf in front of Julie. I'm not going to choose cars in front of Julie. I'm not going to choose. I said that on earth, other than my relationship with God, I choose Julie, and everything else I have to put aside. And when we're with God, it's the same thing. We're saying, if anything comes to try to steal me from you, including my wife, that's the only thing above my wife on the earth, is my relationship with God. And anything that tries to steal my relationship with God, I make the statement to the thing, the person, I'm with God, you're never going to be first. And it's a loyalty decision. And when you're with him, all things are possible. But with God, it's everything or nothing. He said, if you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'll spew you out. He said, give me your whole life and watch the life I give you back. But there's no half-stepping in that. You want to see miracles? You want to see God do what looks impossible for you becomes possible? Oh, my goodness. Get with God. Like I got with Julie. And let me say something to you. I was going to take you to John, but it talks about abiding, making your home with God. Listen, you don't get to know anybody until you live with them. I thought I knew Julie. I was in love, and I'm like, man, you're wonderful, and you're awesome, and then I live with her. And she lived with me, and that's when I got to know her. And that's when she got to know me. And that's when true intimacy takes place. Intimacy isn't, when we say that word, we think of sex. But intimacy is, I know you. You know me. And we still love each other. Intimacy is knowing them. Knowing them at a level that no one else. Julie knows me like no one else on the planet knows me. My kids, my mama, no one knows me the way Julie knows me. And no one knows Julie the way I know Julie. That's what it means to be with God. It's an intimacy. It's a deep, deep relationship that we know each other. And when you know him and he knows you, he says in John, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. When you're with each other. We want to see the miracles take place in your house, in this house, in our city, oh, in our state. Man, we need to draw closer and say, God, I'm with you. I'm with you. And as you've proven how much you love me and gave your life, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to be a living sacrifice for you. My life is yours. I'm all in. I know I won't be perfect at it. I know it's a process for me. It's not a process for you. You're perfect from the, you have no beginning, no end. You've always been perfect. But I know it's a process for me to grow closer to you. But I thank you, Father. You give me permission to walk through the process. You give me permission to for you to work on me and grow me and teach me as I get older and more mature, not just in age, but in life. I know some people that are 10 are more mature than some people I know that are 60. They have a level of maturity in Jesus that it's crazy how that works, but it does. So it's not a matter of age. It's a matter of intimacy with God. And that's when we're going to see that all things are possible, when we're with him and he's with us. Because he said this, if I be for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? I want to give you some hope today. I know there's pain in this room. I know there's hurt. I know there's stuff that's happened to you and stuff happening around us. But, man, if we'll stay intimate, we'll stay with God, oh, all things are possible. He can heal your, you don't think your heart can be healed? He can heal it. It looks impossible. You're like, I don't know how that's possible. There's so much hurt. Oh, it's possible. If you'll just press in and be with God, he'll be with you. All things are possible. Listen, every eye closed here. And Alon, I'm sorry we got started late. For those online, we had an incident with someone, one of our elderly gentlemen had his knee go out, slipped and fell, hit his head in the service. So we had to wait for him to get taken care of. I wanted to use some wisdom. He's good, but and he's no bleeding, no concussion so far. And they just wanted to take some precautions and not move him till the paramedics got here. So we started late. But listen, the Holy Spirit knew. He knew what was happening. He knew you'd be here. He knew whoever would be in this room. And I don't care whatever reason you're watching or you're here right now. Whatever your reason is, I went to church for all the wrong reasons and got saved that day. I got, what did it mean to be saved? Jesus set me free from being a slave to sin. I was a slave to sin. And until you know him as the Lord and you've really, from your heart, given yourself to him, you're going to be a slave to sin. What does that mean? Sin's going to control you. It's going to control your life. That's why you can't break that addiction. That's why you can't break that habit. That's why you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And it's a vicious cycle in your life of relationships and this, that, and another thing, because sin has enslaved you. Well, do you not ever sin when you become a Christian? Yes, you do, but it's a choice. You mean before I didn't have a choice? No, you didn't. Before you know Jesus, you don't have a choice. That's why Jesus said, I came to set you free. Freedom is the freedom to choose. Jesus came to get us freedom from sin. And we can still choose to do it. And because we still live in a fallen world, we do. But he forgives us. He forgives us. And then he gives us the freedom another time to choose what's right instead of what's wrong. But he wants to set you free from the slavery of sin. And then he wants to set you free from the penalty of sin in the next life, which is eternal death. And he wants to give you, as a gift, eternal life in heaven forever. But it's your choice. Julie didn't force me to take a vow. I didn't force her. We chose to take those vows. We chose to be with each other. God gives you a choice. He chose and said, I want to be with you. I want to save you. I want to rescue you. I want to lead you and guide you in this life, in the next. But now it's your choice. And if you've never prayed and surrendered your life to him, I promise you two things. He'll forgive you and heaven will be your home when you die. And that you'll live a life, a better life than you ever dreamed about living. It won't be perfect, but it'll be good. The best life you'll ever live is with him. The other thing I promise is that because he promised it, heaven will be your home forever. So if, for whatever reason you're here, you're here. God's ministering to you and you have a choice to make. And man, our prayers have been and always will be that you choose Jesus. That you surrender your life to him and you trust him to give you a life worth living and giving away. Trust him to forgive you and give you heaven. Trust him to teach you, grow you. Change you from the inside out. Trust him. Trust his leadership and choose to follow him. If you've never done that, we want to pray with you right now if that's your choice. Or maybe you've known him and you ran away from home. And I ran away from home several times, but I'm so grateful that every time I came back, God welcomed me home. He welcomed me home. The same way you'd welcome home a child that ran away, he welcomes us home. So whether it's your first time or your next time, you know you need to pray and get right with God. You know you need to make it right. Get the relationship right. It's broken, not because he broke it, but because we did. So if either one of those are you, you're praying for the first time or the next time, I ask you to do two things. Here's the first one. On the count of three, just to raise your hand up. Online, send us a note. Send us a message on that message board. I'm praying for the first time. I'm praying for the next time. And here, raise your hand up high and say, it's me. I need to get right with God. Then put your hand down. And then whether online or here, the next thing we're going to do, the second thing we're going to do, we're going to pray right where you're at. So here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand and say, it's me. I'm going to get right with God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put that down. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? There's hands all over. Thank you in the back. Thank you. I see that hand. All right. Thank you. I see that hand. Let's pray then. Let's pray right now. Those online, pray with us too. Whether you're watching today or on Thursday, God wants to save your life, restore your life. Say this all together, church. God, I believe you are God and God alone. That you love me. You love us. So you sent Jesus to die for my sins and anyone else's sins. Who would believe it? I believe it. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead and he's alive. And because I believe that, I ask that you forgive me of all of my sins. And I receive your forgiveness. And I say to you, Jesus, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I receive the Holy Spirit to teach me, to guide me, teach me how to live and what I was created for, to live a life and life abundantly for you on earth until I see you in heaven. Thank you for saving me, restoring my life to you. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Let's thank him. Come on, we always thank him.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.